Okay, this morning, I'd just like to this morning for a short while to continue where David left off last week. He spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I would like to just speak for a short while about that this morning, but I'd like to come from a different angle, perhaps. And I'd like to speak this morning about the resurrection of Jesus from a skeptical angle. And, you know, there are many skeptics today. And there were many skeptics when Jesus was alive. And when he when he ministered right in Jerusalem, in Galilee, there were skeptics. And after he had died, and after he had rose again and ascended, there were skeptics in the church. We read about this in 1 Corinthians. There were skeptics there who did not believe in the resurrection. So I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm going to read from John chapter 20 and verses 24 to 29. And it goes like this. That Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks made by the nails, and put my finger into the nail prints, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it." He was a skeptic. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here, and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless and incredulous, but stop your unbelief and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, do you not believe? Trust our faith. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 12 to 21. And it goes like this. "But now if Christ the Messiah is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is vain, it amounts to nothing, and your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless, without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. We are even discovered to be misrepresenting God, for we testify of him that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, in case it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is a mere delusion, futile, fruitless, and you are still in your sins under the control and penalty of sin. And further, those who have died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ have perished, are lost. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and to be pitied. But the fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, It is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. And if you want to write, the first point is this. The crucial, right, importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Although the cross has become the universal symbol of the Christian and of the Christian faith, it speaks of death, especially in the form of a crucifix. And you can get all these crucifixes, women wear them, women wear them around the neck, men wear them also. An empty tomb would be more appropriate, though it is more difficult to depict and would perhaps still be associated with death. The apostles preached Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23. But a more appropriate translation would be, Christ, having been crucified, he should no more be thought of as still on the cross, even on Good Friday, than still in a manger, as so many do at Christmas. Unlike all the figures of history who were alive and are now dead, Jesus can say, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and forever. There's a skeptic, I don't know when he was born and I don't know when he lived, I can't give you the century. His name was Joseph Renan. The French skeptic said, sarcastically but truthfully, you Christians live on the fragrance of an empty tomb. You Christians live on the fragrance of an empty tomb. The resurrection was at the heart of the gospel for those first apostles and first believers. And right, I've got a series of scriptures here. If you want to look them up. I'll read them out to you. See Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 36, and Acts 3, verses 15 to 26, Acts 4, verses 10 to 33, Acts 5, verse 30, Acts chapter 10, verses 40 and 41, and Acts 13, verses 29 to 39, and Acts 17, verse 31, they all speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what the believers and the apostles, right, this is what they proclaimed after Jesus had risen. They proclaimed that he was risen. It is not exaggeration to say that for them, everything else hung on this one fact. Without it, they had no gospel. It was crucial as that. But there is a widespread notion today that belief in a bodily resurrection of Jesus is not essential to the Christian faith and life. It is said that if his bones were discovered to be still lying buried somewhere in the Middle East, this need make little or no difference to his followers. Even bishops within the Church of England are saying such things, and probably trying to remove what is an offence to contemporary thinking. It is said that we could still admire and revere Jesus, seek to follow his moral and spiritual teaching, and emulate his willingness to die for his principles. Many have sought to do this, from Tolstoy to Gandhi. Why insist on believing such an extraordinary story? Surely many more would follow Jesus if they were not expected to accept such an intellectual impossibility. The apostles would have been astonished at such a line of thought. They had 3 days to find out what it meant to follow a Jesus who had not risen. It led to disaster and despair, and even total loss of faith for Judas. For them and for us, what is at stake is the truth. Jesus himself hated all lies and called them the devil's native language. We find this in John chapter 8, verse 44. All forms of deception, especially hypocrisy, were anathema to him. He claimed always to speak the truth, even to be the truth, John 14, chapter 6. Yet, if he was not risen from the dead, then the religion he founded is based on a lie. My second point is this. Is the resurrection based on a lie? Christianity would be the biggest fraud in history. Some 1,500 million people have been fooled. Propagators of the faith are no better than confidence tricksters. Who should be held responsible for this gigantic hoax? Presumably those originally foisting it on a gullible public, the apostles who invented the story, and the New Testament writers who perpetuated it. Did Jesus himself not plant the first seeds of the idea by predicting it himself on more than one occasion? Had he not done so, it would never have entered their imagination. This would not be the only case in which Jesus himself would have been lying. All that he said about himself, his claims to be the unique Son of God, to be able to forgive sins, to be the final judge of every human being, all these assertions would be false, since God himself apparently disowned him, allowing him to die the death he deserved. How could we trust such a person to be right in anything else he said, when he could be so deluded about himself? It is not just that we find it hard to believe in him, it would be also difficult to believe in the God he believed in. How could we ever believe that God really was a loving Father if the person who told us that was so untrustworthy? We lose more than faith if Jesus did not rise from the dead. We lose forgiveness. How can we ever have our sins cancelled unless they have been atoned for, the penalty paid, and justice satisfied? Christians have assumed that this is what happened on the cross. Christ died for our sins. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. But how can we know that his suffering released us from our debt to divine justice? If Jesus was not raised, we are still in our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, 17, and our faith is futile and fruitless. Even worse, our hopes for the future are dashed. We will never have the fullness of life with a body that can express us and relate to the environment. The earth itself will die a lingering death with dwindling food and fuel resources and accelerated pollution of air and water. Oblivion is not an option. Truly, if only for this life, we have hope in Christ. We are to be pitied more than all people. 1 Corinthians, we find this in chapter 15 and verse 19. Christians would lose more by death than anyone else. Christian faith could be considered dangerous and cruel in rising false hopes if Christ has not been raised. Then we have to say that all our beliefs are based on a lie. This is a fatal flaw affects everything else. The wise seeker after God will have to look elsewhere, probably conclude that each religion helps some and none helps all. My third point is this: we are bound by the truth. But if it is true that Jesus is alive today, we can no longer take refuge in relativism. We are confronted with absolutes, and we can only accept or refuse the truth. If we reject it, we deceive ourselves and lose touch with reality. For in both the Hebrew and Greek languages, truth and reality are one and the same word. If the resurrection was real, then we have to face the reality that Jesus was really, we claim to be, the only Son of the living God. This means that God himself, the creator of our whole universe, has entered our space-time world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing we can ever know about God. He has met us on our ground to establish a personal relationship with us. This immediately sets Christianity apart from other religions. It is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a revelation. God has revealed the truth to us, not just in words, but in the Word made flesh. And we find this in John chapter 1, verse 14. Above all, it is a relationship with God the Father through his Son by his Spirit. If this is the truth, then Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. John chapter 14, verse 6. If this is the truth, then salvation is found in no one else, for there is none other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If this is the truth, there is only one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. All religions denying this are false. They may contain some element of truth, but insofar as they ignore or deny the way that God has provided for human beings to know him, they lead people away from the truth. For the truth is a person, Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the linchpin of the Christian faith and life. Without it, everything else would fall apart. I want to give you an insight into two men. And these two men were Oxford Dons. And I found this in one of the books I bought, and I wrote it down here to quote it. And right, they were skeptics, like I've said. They were skeptics, like Thomas was a skeptic, and they were skeptics right in the Corinthian church. And these two men were skeptics. Brilliant men, Oxford Dons, they went to Oxford. Very well educated, and this is what it says about them. Two able young men, Gilbert West and Lord Lyttelton, went up to Oxford. They were friends of Dr. Johnson and Alexander Pope in the School of Society. They were determined to attack the very basis of the Christian faith. So Lyttelton settled down to prove that Saul of Tarsus was never converted to Christianity, and West to demonstrate that Jesus never rose from the dead, rose from the tomb. Sometime later, they met and discussed their findings. Both were a little sheepish, for they had come independently to a similar and disturbing conclusion. Little then found, on examination, that Saul of Tarsus did become a radically new man through his conversion to Christianity, and West found that the evidence pointed unmistakably to the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. And it's also written, you may still find this book, that's Littleton's book, in a large library. It is entitled Observations on the History and Evidences of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ, and was published in 1747. That's nearly 250 years ago. On the flyleaf, he has printed his telling quotation. And this quotation is from Ecclesiastes, which might be adopted with profit by any skeptic, modern, or agnostic. And it goes like this. It says, blame not before thou hast examined the truth. So we see, right, that the resurrection is most important. And I'd like to right end by this. In Louisiana, there was a woman, and this woman had died. And it says this, in Louisiana, a woman lies buried beneath a grove of a 150-year-old oak tree. In the cemetery of an Episcopal church, only one word is carved on her tombstone. Now, everybody know what that word is. Have you any idea what that word is?
Home.
Huh?
Home.
So no. Just one word on the tombstone. And it demonstrates, right, what the resurrection is. The resurrection is in reality. And this one word is this, waiting. What's this woman waiting for? What's she waiting for? Waiting for her resurrection. Waiting for her resurrection. Because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, because he is resurrected, this woman is waiting for her resurrection. What a wonderful thing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. I hope there's no right skeptics and disbelievers here this morning. I hope we all believe, right, that Jesus died and that he rose again for our justification. He rose again for our salvation. He rose again for our hope. Because we don't believe in the resurrection, we have no hope. We have no future. If you've got any difficulty this morning, right, in believing, if there's a little bit of skepticism that's in your heart this morning, you need help, come out here and I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you and right. I'd like to pray and put your feet on solid ground this morning. That Jesus has risen. He's risen from the dead. And right this morning we should ring, right, that message out. That he's alive. He's not dead. He's not in that tomb. He's alive. The man this heaven, this morning, standing in heaven, right, pleading for us, interceding for us. He's there for us this morning in heaven at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and of earth. May the Lord bless you, help you, and help you this morning, take you on, right, and give you, right, such a hope and such a vision, and give you such, right, this morning, get that in you, that, right, Jesus is alive, and this, right, needs to be told. Amen. Yeah.